प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वास हरि गौर भक्त श्री राधा कृष्ण भक्त विनाश नाम श्री राधा कृष्ण ब्रज भूमि वृंदावन धाम श्री मायापुर धाम श्री जगन्नाथपुरी की तुमसे कुंज धाम की
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jaya Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nanana Vrija Janaranjana Yashoda Nanana Vrija Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanadari Jamla Tihira Vanajari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabiyari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Balaba Giri Bala Jari Shodhanana Braj Jana Ranjana Yashodhanana Braj Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki, Yantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Samaveta Bhaktavinoda, Nitai Gaur Premanand, all glories to the Simple Devotees, all glories to the Simple Devotees, all glories to the Simple Devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Continue reading from Gandhara Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, Text 42. Kakshimo nija parayo Gyan Varta Swaparadruha Dharmina Svadrohata Vakopa Parasampidaya Chatata Dharma Kakshimoni Japarayo Yan Varta Swaparadruha Dharmina Svadrohata Vakopa Parasampidaya Chatata Dharma Kakshimoni Japarayo Yan Varta Swaparadruha Dharmina Svadrohata Vakopa Parasampidaya Chatata Dharma Kakshimoni Japanayo what? Kshema, benefit, nija, to oneself, pradayoho, and to others, kyan, how much, va, or, artha, purpose, swaparadruha, which is envious of the performer and of others. Dharmina, with the religious system. Svadrohat, from being envious of one's own self. Tava, of you. Kopaha, anger. Parasampidaya, by giving pain to others. Ta, also. Tata, as well as. Adharma, irreligion. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, how can a religious system that produces envy of oneself and of others be beneficial for oneself and for them? What is auspicious about following such a system? What is actually to be gained? by causing pain to one's own self due to self-envy, and by causing pain to others, one arouses your anger and practices irreligion. Purport. Any religious system but the process of Bhagavad Dharma, service as an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a system of envy of one's own self and of others. For example, there are many systems of religion in which animal sacrifices are recommended. Such animal sacrifices are inauspicious both for the performer and for the animal. Although one is sometimes permitted to sacrifice an animal before the goddess Kali and eat it instead of purchasing meat from a slaughterhouse, permission to eat meat after sacrifice in the presence of goddess Kali is not the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is simply a concession for the miserable person who will not give up eating meat. It is meant to restrict his desire for unrestricted meat eating. Such a religious system is condemned. Therefore, Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Pradichagya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. Give up all other duties and surrender unto me. That is the last word in religion. One may argue that the sacrifice of animals is recommended in the Vedas. This recommendation, however, is a restriction. Without Vedic restrictions on the purchase of meat, people will purchase meat from the market, which will be overflooded with meat shops, and slaughterhouses will increase. To restrict this, sometimes the Vedas say that one may eat meat after sacrificing an insignificant animal like a goat for the goddess Kali. In any case, a system of religion in which animal sacrifices are recommended is inauspicious for those who perform the sacrifices and for the animals. Envious persons who perform ostentatious animal sacrifices are condemned in Bhagavad Gita 16:17 as follows. Atmasambhavita stabhya dhanamana madanvitaha yajante nama yagyaiste dhambena vidipurpakam. Self-complacent and always impudent, deluded by wealth and false prestige, they sometimes perform sacrifices in name only, without following any rules or regulations. Sometimes animal sacrifices are performed very gorgeously with grand arrangements for worshipping the goddess Kali, but such festivals, although performed in the name of yajna, are not actually yajna, for yajna means to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it is recommended that in this age specifically, Jagyai Sankirtana Prayar Yajantehi Sumedasa, those who have good intelligence satisfy the Yajna Purush Vishnu by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Envious persons, however, are condemned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as follows. Ankaram Balam Darpam Kamam Krotam Chasamshita Mamatma Paradehishu Pradvishanto Bhayashukaha Tanaham Dvisha Kurun Samar Seshu Naradharmam Kshipam Yajashram Ashupan Asuriv Eva Yonishu. Bewildered by false ego, strength, pride, lust, and anger, the demon becomes envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in his own body and in the bodies of others, and blasphemes against the real religion. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Chapter 16, text 18 through 19. Bhagavad Gita. These persons are condemned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as indicated by the words, tava kopa. A person who commits murder is envious of himself and also the person he has killed. For the result of committing murder is that he will be arrested and hanged. If one transgresses the laws of a man-made government, he can escape being killed by the state, but one cannot escape the laws of God. A killer of any animal must be killed in his next life by the same animal. This is the law of nature. One must follow the instruction of the Supreme Lord. Sarva Dharma Parichagya Mamekam Sharanam Braja. If one follows any other system of religion, he is subject to punishment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in many different ways. Therefore, if one follows a concocted system of religion, he is envious not only of others, but also of himself. Consequently, his system of religion is useless. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8 says, Dharma svanushtita pungshang visvakshinakata suya nutpada yadyadiratim shrama eva hi kevalam. Duties, dharma, executed by men, regardless of occupation, are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the Supreme Lord. Following a system of religion that does not awaken one's Krishna consciousness or God consciousness is merely a waste of time and labor. Translation repeated. How can a religious system that produces envy of oneself and of others be beneficial for oneself and for them? What is auspicious about following such a system? What is actually to be gained? By causing pain to one's own self due to self-envy, and by causing pain to others, one arouses your anger and practices irreligion. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Nmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupak Dhamayam Tati Svapitantikam. Vancha Kalpataruvyascha Kripasindubhya Eva Chaptitanan Vavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, these are the continued prayers we're hearing. Glorification of the Lord, and also King Jitaketu has taken the opportunity to point out the advantages or the glories of Bhagavad Dharma, the real religious system. And in so doing, one naturally has to expose the faults or the shortcomings of irreligious systems, systems that promote something in the name of religion, but actually disqualify their adherents from achieving the ultimate goal. So particularly there are many religious systems today, and Prabhupada mentions in the first canto, in the first chapter, that it's actually observable that most religions are performed due to material desire, right? Dharma, artha, kama, moksha, that to get some benefit, I'll engage in some religious activity. And he says that one can see that because the churches are all closing up in the mosques, it shows that actually people are engaging in religion for some type of sense gratification. So we need to be very careful as followers, or aspiring followers of the Bhagavad Gita, that we also don't take to religious process for some material gain, for some self-satisfaction. Initially, when we come to Krishna, yes, we have material desires. But as we are continuing on the path, we need to be very wary of taking advantage of the facilities of devotional service that Krishna will provide. Krishna will provide so many facilities to engage in service. And therefore, the Bhagavan says, dharmasya hi bhavargasya, that don't utilize those facilities for sense gratification, right? Whatever you get by your bhakti is meant for the Lord's service. One should never engage such activities for one's sense gratification. So we have a nice facility, we have Krishna's taking care of us, right? For maybe the first time in a long time, we're not slaving away to just get food on the table. So we have some facilities that have been given. But the Bhagavad Marg says, be very careful that you don't use those for enjoyment. Rather, they should facilitate your service. So you don't have time, you don't need to go out and work all day long, perhaps. So make sure you use that time very carefully for cultivating Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, then one can't achieve the real goal of an authentic religion. And this is what's being condemned here in the last statement. Following a system of religion that does not awaken one's Krishna consciousness or God consciousness is merely a waste of time and labor. So there are so many different spiritual paths out there, but one can, Prabhupada said you can judge something by the result, that one can see, are the followers getting the proper understanding? Are they able to progress in the line of pure devotion, which is the purpose of religion, to actually fully surrender to God? And if not, then they're being described as merely a waste of time and labor. This is pretty strong, right? Shrama eva hi kevalam is simply useless labor. So the Bhagavatam is different. The Bhagavatam is specifically meant to offer that pure understanding of Krishna consciousness, of what it means to to surrender to God. So this is also present in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, right? In the second text of the entire Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam itself declares, Dharma Projita Kaitavo Traparamo Nirmatsaranam Satam. Vidyam Vastava Matra Vastu Shivadam Tapa Trayon Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamune Kirte Kimva Parari Shura Sadhyo Ridava Rudyate Trakriti Vishu Shushubi Stachanat. That completely rejecting all religious systems that are materially motivated. Sometimes Mars gives this example, like before you're making a presentation, something you might make an announcement, you know, blow a trumpet, that the Srimad Bhagavatam is not going to offer us anything that's going to offer material sense gratification. It's strictly meant for understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's been here to offer the highest truth. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the benefit of all. So in this world, people are suffering because they don't have that. They don't have the clear understanding of what the truth is. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is here to distinguish that reality from illusion, to distinguish cheating from authentic spiritual practice. And of course, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, the Bhagavatam is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? So just this one book can actually offer everyone complete God realization, and it's available and meant for everyone. The Vedas are very unique because they allow everyone to come to that platform. And specifically the portion of the Vedas that deal with knowledge and then bhakti ultimately, that it's very applicable and meant for all living entities to simply take up the process of bhakti yoga. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of the Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. Simply by this attentive message. So this is how we can judge how submissively we're hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, right? Just by hearing that message, then Krishna will manifest in the heart. So we can go through the purport and just look through a few points being made here. Specifically, Prabhupada's taking the opportunity to point out many people in the name of religion engage in all sorts of activities that are counterproductive for one's spiritual life. Enviousness of oneself or envious of others. What does that really mean to be envious of oneself? How can one be? This is a question. What is that? Prabhupada's saying it will, these other religious systems invoke envy of others and also envy of oneself. How can one be?
They're trying to force or trying to impose their theory, which is against Bhagavad Dharma. Mm-hmm. That is called a cheating or pretentious religion. That will create a great havoc. It's not according to the scriptures.
Okay. Nice. Anyone else? What does it mean to be envious of oneself? How is that possible? Karuna Nidhi?
Here we can see that how Prabhupada explained that because Krishna resides in your heart, you know, he is staying inside and outside. So when you do not follow the rule and regulation as mentioned, as required by Krishna, you know, then that's what he has mentioned, that material nature, how prosecute. So that means when you do not follow Bhagavad Dharma, that means you are cheating your own self, cheating Krishna within. Yes. So that is the secret.
Very similar to what Karunanidhi Prabhu said, that self-envy means when you deny yourself the opportunity for self-realization. That is envy of self.
Does that happen consciously?
No. Very subconscious.
It's subtle.
So very subtle. Very subtle. Because at the grass level, you may be following some religion, thinking that you're God conscious, but you're not. It's a very subtle thing.
Yeah, I was thinking how when one's not self-realized, they're not so much identifying with the soul, actually. They're more identifying with either the mind or the senses, the body or the intelligence or false ego. So when the false ego and the mind and intelligence are so engaged in manifesting envy for others, that this is really the root problem, that others, I was just looking up the dictionary definition of envy because we hear it all the time, but it means feeling discontentment with another's advantages or a superior position. So that envy in the material world is so prominent that no one can tolerate, that therefore all of the calamities actually in material existence are based on this envy. And it's a form of disrespect because they can't understand who the living entity really is, that they're a part and parcel of Krishna. So when one sees that every soul, every jiva is part and parcel of Krishna, then there's not envy because one understands actually the supremacy of God. It awakens surrender. But in people, when this envy becomes so prominent towards others, and one is simply living as a consequence of that, then also one becomes envious of themselves because they disrespect their own soul. They don't value who they really are as a spiritual being. So the mind, the intelligence, actually take on an envious mentality towards the soul. Right? Prabhupada would say, to harm anyone, you're ultimately envious of yourself. You're not understanding the position of the soul. When we actually understand what the soul is the part and parcel of Krishna. The soul is God. All living entities are actually God, in the sense that they are part of God. So this is a very profound point, actually. It's not a light point. And the more that we respect other living entities, this is one of the glories of Vedic culture, that the whole culture is based on that respect for others. This is such an important principle of the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, because by disrespecting others, we're disrespecting Krishna. We're trying to cultivate a loving mood of service to Krishna, but if we're being disrespectful to his parts and parcels, then how can we please Krishna? So one's service can never really be pleasing to Krishna until one becomes free from envy to others. And then the point about the Vedas here, that the Vedas do give sanction for animal killing, but it's not recommended. It's a restriction. So also when we're studying Prabhupada's books or Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, then we want to make sure that we're getting the understanding, the purports of those points, the real essence. And that's the help of Guru, actually, because on our own we may be studying and thinking, I'm very sure of something, I'm very confident, but we can't see our own attachments. The attachments are beyond our range of perception, actually, because the consciousness is contaminated. So then this is the spiritual master has that vision, because he's liberated, he's free from that. So he can point out, and therefore that relationship is so essential as one progresses. Otherwise we may be just deceiving ourselves, thinking so many different things that we're doing. And this goes into the point of that yajna really means to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these people are thinking by doing these elaborate sacrifices, worship of Kali, that this is good, this is yajna. But yajna really means something that's pleasing to Krishna. So also in our service, sometimes we can be doing so many things, but it has to be anukulyena Krishna anushilanam, that it's actually pleasing to Krishna. And so it's not about the externals, what does it look like, what activities are we doing, but Krishna we know is just pleased by bhakti. That Krishna can only be known through bhakti, bhakti mama mijananti. And Krishna only accepts the bhakti. It's not actually the offering, right? It's the bhakti that he's looking for. So that's the primary ingredient that will satisfy Krishna, that will please him in our service. And to develop that, the mood of humility, a humble mood of service in whatever activities that we're doing. Otherwise, there may be some very nice external show or just manifestation, but internally, our hearts, they may not change. And it continues that, therefore, in this age specifically, those who have good intelligence satisfy the Yajna Purush Vishnu by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. That in Kali Yuga, the Yajna Purush is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's satisfied, he's served, he's pleased by the congregational chanting of Hare Krishna. That is the means by which we actually awaken Krishna consciousness, that everything that we're doing is meant to give the taste for the holy name. That's really the measure of one's advancement in Krishna consciousness, is how much taste they have for chanting, the level of their chanting. So sometimes I think we forget this point, and we may be engaged in so many activities to bring us to the point when I can chant. But really, the more absorption in Krishna consciousness comes through the holy name. And Lord Chaitanya specifically says that this is the dharma, this is the religious duty of all human beings in the age of Kali. This is our religious duty, is the congregational chanting. And I was just thinking how it's such an opportunity whenever there's the Sankirtan, that during our different services, there are also, our mind may not be so focused. There's so many different elements, but that during the Kirtan is a time when we have that space, we have that inner space to just connect with Krishna through his holy name. And we don't want to, you know, at the end of our life, look back and just see those as missed opportunities, that, you know, that would be the greatest loss, that here in the temple and going outside, all these, this is that opportunity, that most priceless, valuable opportunity to connect with Krishna. We don't want to miss that opportunity or lose that. But we need to get the taste also for chanting, because otherwise we won't be so much attracted to the chanting of the holy name. It will become, you know, it can be like a ritual for us. So therefore one has to very carefully follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Prabhupada says in tato. And really find out what does the spiritual master want from us and dedicate 100% dedication to doing that. And that will cause the mercy of Krishna to flow, to empower us, you know, to step by step, little by little, to ultimately get there someday. And then there's a description here of the demoniac mentality that describes envious persons. Which also we can always consider in our own consciousness, which of these qualities may be there. So the main point here that Prabhupada is indicating is that real religion means surrender to Krishna. Of course, this is Krishna's instruction in Bhagavad Gita. And Srimad Bhagavatam is said to start where one is at the point of surrender. That once one surrenders, then one can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. It's only understood by those who are pure in heart. So we're not quite there yet, but little by little. But this scripture is meant for those who are non-envious, that giving up this envious mentality towards others, towards other jivas, towards even our own soul, disrespecting ourself as a spiritual being, and cultivating this favorable mood of service to Krishna, which in Kali Yuga is based on the chanting of the holy names, and offering this knowledge to others who are confused and are maybe being cheated by their own religious systems, you know, knowingly or unknowingly. So those are a few reflections on this purport. I thank you very much for your kind audience attention, and maybe we could have some comments or questions. Yeah. Thank
you. Well, I had a question about what Prabhupada was saying in the purport, that some section of the Vedas may have this restriction about animal sacrifices, but then he goes on to say that the religious instructions which talk about animal sacrifices are condemned, and they are inauspicious for the user, for the performer, and for everyone else. So I was just trying to understand, my perception of the Vedas, or my impression was that everything is pure. But a section of the Vedas is being condemned or being said to be inauspicious. So I was just trying to understand that.
Well, Krishna says the Vedas deal mostly with the three modes of material nature. Majority of... So depending on one's adhikar, transcendentalists, that portion is not so valuable. It is Vedas. It's directly manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But which particular utilization, or what's the utilization of that section? So it has value. The Vedas have unlimited value to elevate people. But ultimately, when one comes to a higher stage, the value goes towards the transcendental portions that will take us back to Godhead. And the other portions are not so much useful for us at that stage. And so Prabhupada is just directly elevating everyone to that platform. That's the amazing thing about bhakti. It immediately brings one to a higher position. But anyone else could comment. That's just a thought.
Acharya Prabhu has given a very good answer. That Arjuna was asking the same question, that there are so many activities and every action as a result. In Vedas, there are so many activities prescribed and every action as a result. And that the verse is quoted, the Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Naistriguna Bhava Arjuna. That Vedas deal with the three modes of nature. Try to overcome the modes of nature. And the very next verse is, Tavan Artha Udapena Sarvata Samprutodake. Tavan Sarvashu Vedeshu Brahmanasya Vijanata. Means, whatever purpose served by the great reservoir of water, small well, is served by the great reservoir of water. Okay, so Vedas may contain different things, but the self-realized soul, according to Jai Jagannath Prabhu, he was telling us, a self-realized soul will try to extract only those things which is necessary for his advancement. So it's you can read that verse, 46, 47, you'll get an answer.
Okay. That's a nice question.
More of goodness, more of passion, and more of ignorance. Depending upon where your faith is, you will follow that part of the Vedas. It's not that all the entire Vedic body is in the mode of goodness. It's not that. It's this ignorance is there, like Veda is in the mode of ignorance, in passion, and in goodness. So if your faith is in ignorance, Krishna is so kind to elevate you from ignorance to at least to come to the platform of passion. He said, okay, you do animal sacrifice, at least you're doing within the jurisdiction of, you know, what Krishna has given. So there will be some elevations. There is no indiscriminately killing and eating like how it's happening now. So then you eventually, hopefully, naturally grow to come to the platform of passion. And then from passion, that's where the worship of demigods and all is there. And then when you follow that, hopefully, you know, you get elevated to mode of goodness. And once you follow what's there in the Vedas in mode of goodness, you come to the platform of transcendental. So, I hope.
So like you were saying, Vedas are in the three modes. So, my understanding was that Vedas are in pure goodness, but they have sections which are meant for people who are in the three modes. So maybe a section for people in the mode of ignorance, but the Vedas themselves are in pure goodness. So
you're thinking Srimad Bhagavatam is just the body. It's not that there's so many scriptures, so many Puranas, and you know, so many. Actually, there are a lot of. I'm not able to remember the names, but you know, even the tantric, it is part of the Vedic body, but it is completely more of ignorance. So especially like, you know, there are some scriptures which say that Devi is the supreme, Shiva is the supreme. It's given in the Vedas, but it's not a scripture that is in mode of goodness. It's the scriptures that's in mode of passion. So when people quote that in this Purana, it said Shiva is the supreme, they're not lying. But that's not like how we say, even God, Krishna is realized in three faces and the sun example is given in, you know, in Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, like, you know, even if you worship Lord Shiva sincerely and eventually by his mercy, if you come to realize that, you know, he's the greatest devotee, by his mercy, you can then understand that Krishna is the supreme. But if somebody is very attached, then there is a place for them also. You know, Krishna doesn't reject them. So as long as you follow what's there, like, you know, even there is elevation. But it's very slow and very gradual. therefore, it is said that the association of devotees is so crucial and critical, because we may be in ignorance and we may be in passion, but it's just the mercy of somebody like Srila Prabhupada, and that they gave us access to something so transcendental and so superior, even though we are not qualified. Otherwise, we'll be in this cycle forever, because we'll be lost, because the body of Veda is so vast and it's so confusing.
I did have a question that I think that the point the Vedas are transcendental. I mean, I'm also asking because, like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that Brahmakshara Samudbhavat, the Vedas directly manifest from the Supreme Personality of God. And Isha Upanishad Prabhupada says, the Vedas are transcendental. So I think that the Vedas have portions that are meant for those under the modes of nature, but I don't know if the Vedas themselves are under those. In other words, they're compiled by Vyasadeva, who is self-realized soul. And therefore, he's arranging them in such a way that for those who are under the modes, here's a particular teaching. But from a higher point of view, the Vedic knowledge, the Vedas are esteemed as spiritual.
Does. It's meant for people in mode of ignorance and passion. That's what I meant.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for correcting.
No, thank
you. Ed, yeah. That, as I'm just trying to again think, this Veda is very vast, but the same verse is on the next verse that all the purpose served by the small well is served by the great reservoir of water. Means the person who really wants to get something out of the Veda will extract only those portion which is necessary for his advancement in Krishna consciousness. Because Veda is very vast. When you dig in, it's way, 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 way. So the self-realized person will only extract the necessary things. I'll show you in the class we'll tour. Prabhu, can I go on questions? It's a continuation of the same question. So Mataji was talking about the Bhagavatam. So I was hoping that Bhagavatam is available in Earth planet as well as in demigod planets, right, Prabhu? So why, since Bhagavatam, you told that it's everything is Bhagavatam, means what is the use of another literature? You quoted that verse, what is the use of other literature? Bhagavatam is sufficient to reveal everything. Kim Vapari Ishwara, that was a line. So since Bhagavatam is sufficient to reveal everything, so why there is a difference in a Bhagavatam in Earth planet and the demigod planets? There's huge, the Bhagavatam is huge over there compared to the Srimad Bhagavatam over here in Earth planet. So I can't understand that. I'm very confused with that thing. But why? Demigod are same living entities. They are not, they are the living entities, same as the human beings.
I don't know the exact answer, but Bhagavatam is Bhagavatam. So whether it's in 12 cantos, 12,000 cantos, the same message, the same essence is there. And just the thought is, in Kali, in planet Earth, especially in Kali Yuga, Prainasho Payura Shabda Kalinasmin Yuga Jana Manda Manda Sumatma Manda Bhagya, that men are short-lived, misguided. So, we can hardly go through 12 cantos as human beings. The demigods are living for many, many thousands and thousands of years. Now, that's just a reflection. That's not the answer, per se. But Bhagavatam is Bhagavatam, whether it's the revelation of the Lord and his devotees. So we may have to ask the demigods.
Was that, as Mother Hemanga was telling, that something, irreligion is a subtle thing, that the thing that they want to follow, they are following the God, but really they are not following. But you can clear the doubt. It seems that it's also a gross thing, where some people are trying to force the cheating religion. Mm-hmm. So it's more than subtle, it's a gross thing. The first thing comes, it's a gross. They are trying to force, or they are being trained to follow the same routine from life and life and lifetime, lifetime, and that's hereditary things. So that's things that doesn't go out of their mind. So I think first is a gross and then it's subtle.
I think that there's both. But even in the gross, it's based on a subtle conditioning. Like, I don't think if you asked anyone, do you want to be cheated, that anyone would say yes. But subtly they have a desire that I want more sense gratification, really. I don't really... But it's not come to the forefront of their mind that they're thinking, I want to find a cheating religion. Where's the bogey? Where's the...
you know, bogus guru, but it's there and then it comes out. But there are also those who are grossly cheating, people that, you know, so-called incarnations and things like this. You know, they may overtly just try to, they're trying to usurp the position of God out of their envy and ego. I think both, maybe there, another.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, very nice point. Actually, in Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse, I forgot. Vedascha krita aham vedo. Something like that. You know, the Vedas, Veda krita, Veda vitayamana. That one. Yeah, there, it is mentioned that the Vedas has been compiled by him, by Krishna. You know. And the purpose of Veda is to know him, to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the ultimate goal. So, after studying all whole Veda, what is the purpose? Just to know Krishna and to know our position. That is, and he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the main thing. So, for example, whatever type, you know, Prabhupada has given example like, you know, animal slaughters, you know. That's how it is a concession for miserable person. He particularly used one word for miserable persons, not any intelligent person. That same sacrifice is compared like in between a intelligent person and a miserable person. For intelligent person is Sumedhasa, that nice verse, not like how to satisfy Krishna by chanting. And for miserable person, just to sacrifice the animal. And again, another example is given in Nectar of Devotion. Very nice example. How Lord Buddha, although he was incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is considered as atheist because he gave atheist philosophy just to cheat this type of people, like, you know, Veda, follower of Veda, so-called follower of Vedas. He made a trick. Now how to stop animal killing.
He's the best cheater, actually.
Yeah, how to stop animal killing, how to stop non-violence. So that's why Lord Buddha cheated them through an atheist way. So...
Very nice. Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
Let's see if I can remember it. So, it said in Vedas where animal sacrifices are recommended that you say a mantra, and it pretty much it translates to, dear animal, I'm sacrificing you to Goddess Kali, and in the next life, you can kill me and eat me. So, the result is the same for both sides. You get killed by the animal in the next life and eaten. Whether you perform it religiously or not, you know. But in terms of consciousness, what happens to the consciousness? I was wondering if you can expand on that.
Yeah, that's a good question. So if you do it against the Vedic injunctions, then you're obviously going to get a lot of sinful reaction. Now, if it's according to the Vedic injunctions, then that's the mantra that is given. I understand that if it is according to proper Vedic injunctions, then one may not get a sinful reaction for that. That when if it's done properly by a qualified person, that actually they're rejuvenating the life of that soul. Like when it's performed by a proper Brahmin, that's why it's forbidden, because there's no qualified Brahmins. When it's properly done, then that soul is rejuvenated into a fresh body. I don't know the specifics of that mantra, though. You know, I Prabhupada mentions that point, but I don't know the mantra or the specifics of how that would actually apply. But the point is that it's not a viable means of sacrifice. That's not actually what's pleasing to Krishna. It's a sanction that's given. And in Kali Yuga, it's actually forbidden. But maybe someone else knows, like Gokulananda. This question was, when you sacrifice an animal according to the Vedas, that you whisper into their ear, I'm killing you now, and in the next life you can kill me. You will kill me. And then if you do it just whimsically, you just kill an animal to eat it, then you also have to suffer the karma of that, the reciprocation, that then you'll be killed.
That's different in his question. I think it's different, right? Because when the brahmanas in the Vedic system's age, like, you know, olden age, when they used to do, they had the power to give the animal the sacrifice that they used to. It's not killing. The animal would get a new body. So that's different from people going in front of the deity of Kali and killing, right?
You were saying if they do it according to Vedas, and if they do it not according to... So there is that distinction. Are they qualified priests doing it before the Vedas, or... What happens to their consciousness? What happens to the consciousness? How does one advance, he's asking?
If you do it in front of Kali, like you
the
kill...
The person doing the yoga.
So what I've heard Prabhupada say is that... of course, you cannot do it every day. There's a specific day. I think it's a full moon night outside the village. Like, you know, there's a Kali temple. You do there. And you have to kill your own animal. It's not that a butcher is killing and giving you the animal. So when you're in front of the deity of Kali and you're ready to kill the goat, and you're going to tell in the year, you know, Mahasaha, like, you know, I'm killing you now. You can kill me in your next life. Hopefully, Prabhupada says that by doing this over and over every 15 days or whatever, hopefully one day the consciousness will awake. Oh my God, how many lifetimes do I have to take to be killed by so many of these? Do I want a life like this? And then the consciousness awakens and you stop it. That's the hope, like, you know, so it's restricted, and they're hoping that when you're doing the act, and sometimes some people like gross out when they have to kill their own animal and you eat. Like, I have my husband, when he was studying, one of his classmates was a vegetarian. And so we asked her, why did you become, you know, vegetarian or vegan? And she said that one day I was walking with my father, I saw somebody slaughtering a pig. Or maybe they had a pig in the house and she was playing, and next thing is it was killed and they had to eat, and that grossed her out. And, you know, it happens. It really, somebody who is really sincere and somewhere, like, you know, they have a sukriti or they have a desire, that consciousness awakens by the repeated act of killing. Oh my God, what am I doing, you know? And I should stop this. And then they inquire, now what should I do? And then Krishna reciprocates.
So don't try. You transcend that and come to bhakti. You don't have to go through that method.
I was just thinking, if you're in the mode of ignorance, you don't know you're in the mode of ignorance. And ignorance means to ignore. Let's see. And you can't give a fool good instruction, otherwise Prabhupada said he becomes angry. I've noticed certain religious systems, although they're not official religions, they're pretty prominent in the world. Like the redneck manifesto religion, is they're attracted to like red meat, things that are shiny, and things that are naked. The Grateful Dead religion was like, you know, Jerry Garcia's, you know, for president. So, you know, these things are kind of going on.
Yeah.
But
everyone's worshiping someone.
And Prabhupada said, most people don't want to go back to Godhead. You know, they're just complacent, or, you know, complacency is a demoniac quality, and they're all kind of stuck in their own complacency. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Okay. A few more minutes, Rakta.
Are the Kshatriyas today, living today, are they exempt from eating, exempt from the reactions of eating meat?
I think Prabhupada said that there are no Kshatriyas today.
There are none?
Yeah. That's what Prabhupada said. Those are Vikarmis. Yeah.
I just had a comment about my previous question. Based on the discussion, I was just thinking that for the person who is addicted to meat eating, for him it's actually auspicious to do the offering to Kali because it's helping him progress. But from the perspective of Bhagavatam or from perspective of Srila Prabhupada, that's a condemned activity. Mm-hmm. So it's inauspicious based on the person who's, I guess, doing it.
Yeah. Thank you. Jai, thank you very much. Thanks for participation and the opportunity. Hope it was okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanand.